us understand, puts things in perspective. Amen. You may have a seat. God is always good. And we're going to go ahead and have our special. And so Molly Miller will be singing our special tonight. Is very near and dear to my heart, that's for sure. I grew up listening to country western music my whole life. My grandpa listened to the old stuff, and my dad listened to the newer stuff. This is back in the 90s, so that new stuff is now old stuff now. But country western music was my passion, and I liked it. And then you go to Bible college, and they tell you, can't listen to that stuff here. Like, I'm from Bakersfield, California, Buck Owens. Don't you know? I mean, we are country at heart. And they told you you can't have those CDs. And so they took all your CDs away and put you some, here's some good music in your car. And I'm telling you, folks, when I listened to that West Coast Baptist College singing music from country music, it was rough. Oh. But then there was that song, Go Sound the Horn. I had just started, I've been doing it for a while, but started working in a bus ministry and just started seeing fruit from our labor and seeing souls saved. And I remember my second semester of Bible college, I was working in a factory. Friday I'd get off and I'd go to work back to Bakersfield, about a 2-hour drive or so from where I worked. And tired, weary, and I remember turning that song up. The louder my lungs, I have that song memorized. Go sound the horn. Just driving down the freeway there on I-5 of California, driving back to Bakersfield, and that song is, you know, just thinking about, and I'm just thinking about how it is true, you know, how much God celebrates one soul getting saved, and how it's worth it all. And I just challenge you, who is it in your life that you've led to Jesus Christ? Can you name one? Hopefully you can. Folks, if you die, you live your entire life, and you don't lead one person to Jesus, that's one fewer soul that's going to that is fighting for the Lord's side. But think about it, just one person. You reach one person. You know, why do I have four kids and I want to have more? Well, because when I die, I want there to be a whole lot more people going to heaven than there was just me and my wife. And I want there to be four young people who are four more. Young people who know Jesus Christ, their Savior. And my four have four to or more kids who teach their kids about Jesus. Lord willing, I'll get to be a grandpa and I'll get to sit. Jesse and who else? Micah, what are you going to name your kids? Jesse and Dan. Stampy, is that one? Stampy. Yeah, he watches a YouTube series of Minecraft videos, and his name is Stampy Longnose. And he told me this week that he's going to name his kids Stampy and Squid and Dan and Jesse. And I said, keep going. That sounds, you know, good. I'll have them all in my lap and tell them about Jesus. And, you know, I can't wait till my kids know Christ and then my grandkids know Christ. I pray every day, God, help me to help my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, my great-great-grandkids. I pray for six generations down the road every day that they'll know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm one person who didn't come from a Christian home. God saved my life. Now I'm trying to reach my children. And listen, if I just reached my children, and their children reach their children, who reach their children, who reach their children. 100 years down the road, there'll be Frasers that are speaking, preaching the truth for years down the road. But I don't just want to reach my children. I want to have a passion, desire to see more than just my children. My goal at the end of my life is that I will get the gospel to 100,000 people. 100,000. How could that be? Do you know that if I just give 20 gospel tracts out every week for my entire life, and of course preaching on top of that a little bit, getting the gospel on Facebook here and there, that I will have told 100,000 people when I die about Jesus Christ. I'm one person. 100,000 people. You say, I could never do that. Yes, you could. Especially if you're young. 100,000 people that know Jesus Christ. Not saying get saved, but heard about Jesus through you. Wouldn't the world be a better place if we just made our mission to tell more and more people about Jesus? What a wonderful thing it would be. Listen, who have you told about Jesus this week? Who is it that you're working? I have two people. One of them was in church this morning. I'm trying to get another person here to church to get saved. I've got, of course, my entire Sunday school class with the teenagers. I've got the tween class I'm working on. I've got the bus kids I'm working on. Who is it that you're working on to get the gospel to that they might be saved? Why? So that someone might go to heaven and not hell. You know, we're talking about heaven tonight. I got to preach a few weeks ago. Hopefully you don't remember what I preached on because it was an egg. You know, sometimes when you're doing something, I was so focused on the last time I preached about being short. And, it was so awkward because remember those teenagers a couple weeks ago when I preached and they gave their testimony and it was just like, we should have just, and I knew it. I should have just ended the service there, given an invitation to go home. But I'm a preacher and I don't get to preach very much, you know? And so I'm like, I got to preach. And I did and I ruined it. I blew it up. Amen. Who said amen? My buddy Armin. Amen. Oh, was it Charlie? I thought it was Armin. You had that guilty look on your face. Amen. I blew it. I ruined it. You could say amen. I know it. I went home to my wife and I said, I should have ended the service. As soon as those testimonies were done, I should have not preached. But I preached and I preached. I preached a long time. And I'm preaching a long time now. I preached a long time just chatting. But I was like, man, I just did not get the message home. And I think there's no greater time than to revisit the subject than right now. With Suzanne Bonds, I don't know. Maybe she is in heaven. I don't know. But just think about Suzanne tonight, okay? And just think. Here's a lady who for the past 6 months has just been stricken with lung cancer. And she knows she's going to heaven. She knows as sure as day that when she dies, that heaven's going to be her home. And she's been looking forward to that day, and now it is here. And folks, listen, we can look at that and say, well, that's good for Suzanne, but what about you? Are you looking forward to heaven? I know I'm 32 years old, and my prayer is that I could live to 80. And die peacefully in my sleep. That's my prayer. But maybe I won't. Maybe tomorrow I'll have a heart attack or get a car accident. I'll be dead. You know, but you know what? That doesn't bother me. You know why? Because I'm going to heaven. That doesn't bother me because for the past 10 years of my life, I've given myself over to God. And I know that when I get to heaven, there's going to be rewards waiting for me. I know that when I get there, that I'm going to miss my wife and my family going to miss me. But you know what? I wouldn't want to come back here for anything. because I'll be in heaven. I'll be in paradise with my dad and my grandma. I'll be in paradise with those folks that were there before me. What a wonderful thing it would be to just wake up and be in heaven. And what a sweet it is. Listen, are you looking forward to heaven in your life? I know you say, well, yes, I'm older and I'm looking forward to it. But listen, I don't care if you're old or young, if you're 5 or if you're 105, you should be looking forward to heaven. Heaven should be something you're not afraid of. Heaven should be something you are. So I am so waiting for that day that I close my eyes here and open my eyes in heaven and eternity. And folks, we're just thinking about that tonight. And I know I preached last time on having a heart for heaven, having a passion that says, as the scripture says, that our pursuits, our passions should not be on things of this earth, but on things of heaven. Listen, the Bible very clearly tells us that we should focus on the eternity, not on the temporal. And I just want to encourage our hearts tonight. As we think about Suzanne, we understand life is frail. And at any given moment, we could be where she's at today. I just want to talk to us about heaven tonight. And so we're going to look at some things about heaven. And then we're going to talk about how you know that heaven is your home. How you know that heaven is your home. And as I pray, would you pray in your own hearts and just ask God to speak to you. That you would just clear your heart, clear your mind, clear what's on your heart. You know, if you've got pain, let it go away. If you've got something you're thinking about, listen, pray to God that he'll get those thoughts off your mind, that you would just focus on heaven tonight. Not Pastor Cody, but the Word of God in heaven. Just ask God as we pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we're thankful for the service that we've already had. God, singing praise to you, and we're singing about how good you are. Lord, just singing how we have everything in you. Lord, how I'd rather have Jesus than anything. God, the song service has been so good. Lord, that song there, Lord, of understanding that how wonderful it is in heaven. Lord, when one soul gets saved, Lord, help us tonight, right now, as we spend the next few minutes talking about heaven, that, Lord, our focus would be on you, our focus would be on your word, Lord, our focus would be on our hearts, that God, the Holy Ghost of God, will speak to us and help us to make a decision for you tonight, that God, the Holy Spirit would move our hearts to say, heaven is my real home, and heaven is where I want to be. And heaven is where I'm going to put my focus and my heart and my desires on heavenly things, not on this earth. Speak to the hearts. Lord, use me, please. God, just bless Suzanne and David. Be with Pastor this time. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. First thing we're going to say about heaven is in Isaiah chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6, the verses are not going to be on the screen. And so if you have a Bible, that'd be great. Isaiah chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture there. As Isaiah stood before God, what did he have to say? Heaven is where the perfect one is. Number one, we understand heaven is where the perfect one is. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts, the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Listen, Isaiah stood in the presence of God before the perfect one, and he understood this is a mighty, wonderful, special place. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the perfect one. And folks, heaven is where God is. The creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things. As the Bible says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Listen, God is in heaven today. The perfect one is there. And what a wonderful day it will be. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is there. The precious one that shed his blood for us. What a wonderful thing it would be is to stand before the presence of God. And folks, as we said, we won't be standing before God. As Isaiah said, folks, we will be kneeling before the King of Kings. All heads shall bow and tongues shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every king, every person, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, all the kings, those princes, those princes there that have tons and millions and billions of dollars in Saudi Arabia, they will kneel before God. The perfect one is in heaven. The second thing about heaven we're going to talk about is heaven is where paradise is. And you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. This is the story of Paul talking to the church there in Corinth. And telling them about an experience that he had. He doesn't know if it was a body or whether it was a dream. He doesn't know, but let's see what Paul said about heaven. I know a man, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such one caught me up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard him speak words which is not lawful me to utter. Of one I will glory, yet not of myself. I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul is saying that, listen, he got a glimpse of paradise. Heaven is paradise. I don't know where you've been in your life, okay? I have never been to the Bahamas. I've never been to those people, place. I'm not a big beach fan. For me, paradise would be probably Disney World. Okay, that would be my paradise. You know, I when I die, I'd like to have my ashes spread there at Disney World. Not really, just kidding. But because that's against the law, you don't do that. But listen, to me, paradise is Disney World. I love Disney World. It's a beautiful place. It's a place of peace, a place of perfection for me, and that's just my sweet spot. But folks, listen, heaven is so much better than Disney World. Heaven is so much better than wherever you're thinking right now. Whether it's a foreign country, whether it's a beach. For me, one of the most beautiful places to see is the redwoods of California. And if you've ever seen the redwoods or the sequoias there in Sequoia National Forest, oh, it's so beautiful. But folks, listen, heaven is so much better than that. It is called paradise. It is a wonderful, perfect place that is going to be so wonderful and peaceful. And folks, listen, when we die, we're going to paradise. You may not get to go to the Bahamas on this earth. You may not get to take a cruise to Alaska. You may not get to go to Disney World. But amen, praise God, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you get to go to heaven, the greatest paradise that ever was. Heaven is where the perfect one is. Heaven is where paradise is. Number three, heaven is where peace is. And we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. Revelation 22 and verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare the 12 manners of fruits and yielded the fruit every month." Now, this is, of course, this is after God destroys the heaven and the earth, and he builds a new heaven and the earth. And so it says that here that the leaves of the tree were healing and of the nations. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and there his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night, there shall neither be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Heaven is a place of peace. There's not going to be any more worries, there's not going to be any more sorrows, there's not going to be any more fear. Heaven is going to be a place of peace. It says that there's the tree of life with 12 fruits. I believe it's going to be watermelon for sure on that tree. I know watermelon doesn't grow on trees, but in heaven it will. Definitely watermelon is going to be one of those trees. On the fruit there of the life, I think of peaches. Amen. Miss Juanita, where are you at? Your fruit salad is probably going to be on the tree of life, I think, there. That's for sure. That the tree of life is going to be filled with fruit. Listen, it's going to be a peaceful place. We're not going to have no hunger, you know. We're not going to look like this anymore, you know, having to. This is going to be a peaceful place. Folks, there's not going to be any more rumors of wars. Listen, just think about heaven tonight. It's a place where the perfect one is. Folks, it is a place that we understand that it is paradise. It is where peace is. Number four, heaven is where there is no pain. Revelation just 21, 4. We'll read that verse. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all the tears of their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers, the idolaters and all liars that have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And I read that verse simply, folks, that there's someone here tonight who does not know heaven as their home. You don't have a paradise. You don't have the perfect one. You don't have a peaceful place. You have that place, a place where the fire burneth with brimstone. And that's the second death for you. But those of us who do know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says there is no pain. He's going to wipe away all tears. Folks, if your body is bothering you today, folks, listen, when you wake up, Suzanne, when she wakes up in heaven, there's going to be a perfect body there waiting for her. She's going to have peace, no more pain. My father, for the last 7-8 years of his life, struggled. He could not walk. He could not get out of his room. He was there in that nursing home. But when he died, that moment he died, listen, folks, his legs worked again. I was sorrowful that my dad passed away. It broke my heart that I didn't get to go see him anymore. But I was so happy for him. I was so happy that my dad was not stuck in that room anymore. That he loved going to Golden Corral, and I couldn't take him all the time. But he's got golden corral in heaven, I promise you that. No more pain. He can go walk down there all the day he wants. Listen, folks, heaven is a place where there's no more pain. Number six, so we have understand, heaven is a place where there's perfect one is. It's a paradise. It's where peace is. There's no pain. And before we get into the service, we're going to talk about heaven is where eternal place is. Heaven is where your eternal place is. And a familiar passage of Scripture, John 14:1. Heaven is where your eternal place is, Lord willing. John 4, verse 1, this is Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. It says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, and that is heaven. In heaven there are mansions. When my grandma passed away, me and my cousin split her funeral. He did part of the service and I did part of the service. I think I was like 16 at the time. But he was either assistant pastor or pastor at the time. And he doesn't believe the King James Version of the Bible. I don't know what version he read from. But it says houses or something, I think the verse says. So he got up and he said, my Father's houses, there are many houses or something. It wasn't mansions. Well, his dad is a very strong King James Version person. And so he got done preaching, and my Uncle Duke, big giant guy, got up and stood up and said, my Bible says Norma's enjoying her mansion. Not a house, a mansion. Amen. Praise God, folks. It's not a little bitty shack waiting in there. You know, there is a mansion, a giant place, a reward place for you. That is where your eternal place is. And folks, I don't care what size of house you live in today. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks, you're going to have a mansion. There's going to be a wonderful, terrific, amazing, fantastic home waiting for you to live eternally. There's not going to be any more leaks in the roof. There's not going to be any more broken windows. There's not going to be any creaks in the floor. There's not going to be anything, no rust. No, nothing like that. It's going to be a place where your eternal home is. Folks, is heaven a wonderful place or not? Heaven is a wonderful place, folks, and it is something that we need to constantly be aware of, thinking about. But, folks, unfortunately, so many times we don't even give a thought about heaven. So much of our life is consumed with this nasty, dirty, filthy earth. So much of our time on this earth is consumed with our pains, our struggles, our sorrows, the brokenness, and so little life. So many people walk around depressed, and they've got their medicines that they're taking to get the depression away. And folks, listen, all of that would be cleared up with just if we started thinking about heaven. If we just started thinking about how perfect heaven was, if we just started thinking about how glorious it is going to be in heaven, listen, all those sorrows, all those heartaches, all those pains, listen, begin to start clearing away as we set our minds focused on heaven. Folks, how do you know that you have a home in heaven? Listen, folks, we understand that heaven is a wonderful place and that our eyes and our minds should be focused there. And maybe we should have the mindset of Paul today, who said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I loved it how Pastor Brother Herbster came and just broke that down to us. I like to look at this backwards. All right? It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I like to turn that verse around and say this. It is gain for us to die when we live in Christ. It is gain for us to die. What that means? That means, listen, when we die, we gain if we live this life for Christ. And that's what Paul was saying. I am going to gain in heaven because I live my life for Jesus. He says in verse 22, but to live in the flesh is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Listen, we should have the heart of Paul today. The heart that says, listen, oh, I want to be with my Father. Oh, I want to be with my Savior. He met Jesus on the road there to Damascus, and he couldn't wait to meet him again. He couldn't wait to go there. He says, my heart is for heaven. My passions are there. But I've got to live here on earth with you. And that's what I'm going to focus on. But listen, I think about heaven a lot. Folks, how much do you think about heaven? Are you too attached to this world? That this is your home? Folks, I want to throw that out the window tonight. I want you to understand something. This is not your home. You're just a passing through. Lord willing, your treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Folks, I want us to understand our home is in heaven. And how do we know our home is in heaven? Listen, you know your home is in heaven if you know Jesus. Just as the thief on the cross cried out for pardon and received paradise, You too can pray to the precious Savior for forgiveness and find eternal peace. If you're not saved tonight, folks, listen. The thief on the cross said, "Would you remember me in your kingdom?" And Jesus Christ, this man was not baptized. This man was not a good man. This man did not go to church. This man did not deserve paradise. He looked on Jesus and said, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus looked him in the eyes. Maybe he couldn't look him in the eyes or whatever. He stood there on the cross and he said, "Today thou will be with me in paradise." Why? Because he trusted Christ to forgive his sins. It was that easy. It was that simple. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to continue to be good to get to heaven. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Folks, listen, just as the thief on the cross cried out for pardon and received paradise, you can pray to the precious Savior for forgiveness and find eternal peace. How do you know your heaven is your home? Listen, if you know Jesus, then you're going to heaven. Now, most of us here do know Jesus. Folks, listen, how do you know heaven is your home? You know heaven is when you're home, when you look forward to getting there. Amen? How many of you have ever been on a trip and you just can't wait to get home? Amen? Listen, that's how it should be in our life every day. Every day of our life, we should say, "This is not my home. I can't wait to get to my real home, which is in heaven." Folks, may we focus on forever and forget about the fleshly pleasures. May we focus on the forever and forget about these fleshly pleasures, because these fleshly pleasures, these fleshly things in our life are distracting us from what's important. Folks, listen, if there's something in your life that gets your mind off of heaven, If there's something you're thinking about right now instead of this message, it is a fleshly pleasure. If there's something you're doing in your life that's getting your mind off of heaven, folks, listen, it's not worth it. It is a fleshly pleasure that's not going to matter anything. How do we know that heaven is our home? We know heaven is our home. We look forward to getting there. I hope you're looking forward to getting there. And everything else that's distracting you, you're going to put aside. Listen, we've got to do things. We've got to go to work. We've got to care for our family. But folks, listen, all the other stuff is just extra. And we let the extra take over the important. Let's focus on the important things. Let's focus on heaven. How do we know heaven is our home? We know heaven is our home if we know Jesus. We know heaven is our home when we look forward to getting there. We know heaven is our home when you can't stop talking about it. You can't stop talking about it. You know, HGTV, Home and Garden TV Network, many of us watch that shows, and we talk about how wonderful it would be to have a house like this. Many of you have a nice place, and you talk about the fixtures you're getting, or you talk about how wonderful your toilet is. Folks, listen, I heard people talk about how wonderful the toilet is. That's okay. That's your business, not mine. People like talking about their house. People like talking about their stuff. People like talking about what they've been. Maybe you went on a vacation and you told your friends about how that vacation was. Folks, listen, we should be talking about heaven. It should be something that comes out of our mouth. Heaven. When we're talking to our family and our friends, listen, folks, we should understand that heaven should come up. Because heaven is our home. All this stuff, you know, we talk about the NFL protests and we get, "Oh, I'm not watching the NFL." Listen, we should, instead of posting that on our Facebook, we should be talking about heaven. "Oh, we're going to talk about this TV show I'm watching." Listen, talk about heaven. "Oh, I'm going to talk about this." Talk about heaven. Listen, it is the most important thing you can talk about on a daily basis. What do you talk about? You talk about what means most to you. Some of you do talk about your home. Hey, when you start talking about your home, hey, start thinking, maybe I should start talking about my heavenly home. Heaven, do you know heaven? Do you know you're going to heaven? How easy is it for you to ask that question to someone? You're not hurting their feelings. And if you hurt their feelings, oh well, you're trying to help them. Listen, folks, we understand there is nothing more worthy to talk about than the holy place of heaven. There is nothing on this life more worthy to talk about than the holy place of heaven. What are you talking about? Are you talking about your eternal home? I hope you are. I hope you're telling people that you're going there. I hope that that's what you're talking about on a regular basis. What you love is what you talk about. And I hope you love heaven. And I hope you love the fact that one day you're going there. And I hope it breaks your heart to know that some people are not, that they don't have that waiting for them. And I hope that you're on a regular basis asking God to give you the opportunity to tell more people about heaven. You know heaven is your home when you talk about it. Finally, you know heaven is your home when you work on your heavenly home improvements. You know heaven is your home when you work on your heavenly home improvements. Many of you have my wife, first time, I think, in our marriage. She gave me a to-do list this week. I think, right? Is that the first time? So this is the 7 years of marriage? 8. Okay, I get it wrong. 8. 8 years of marriage. 8 years of marriage. And this is her first time. That's pretty good, gentlemen, right? That's pretty good. Thank you, honeybee, for that. So 8 years, because she knows it's going to take me 8 years to get it done. So she gave me this honey-do list, home improvements. She wants to finish putting the things on the cabinets, to clean out the basement, to fix up the garage, and there's something else on there, but we'll get it done someday. She gave me a home improvement list to fix around the house. And so, listen, that's important. Of course, I need to do that. And I was going to do it today. I promised you I was going to do it today. But Pastor called me and said I got something else to do. So I'll get to it tomorrow. No, we got team time tomorrow. Maybe Tuesday. It's not looking good. Not looking good to get done this week. We'll see. But my wife has a to-do list for my house. Listen, Jesus Christ has a to-do list for us on this earth. And as we do what Jesus asks us to do, we are improving on our home in eternity, our rewards. Jesus is adding to our eternal life as we live for him. God is giving rewards in heaven as we faithfully serve him. Listen, many of you are going to focus on your earthly home improvements, and you'll invest your money into it, and you'll invest your time into it, and you'll think about how you're going to fix your home up to be so nice. And yet, as the guy who said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, God will look at you and say, you're going to be in heaven tonight. Psst, waste of time. Folks, you know heaven is your home when you're working on having heavenly home improvements. I want to improve my mansion in heaven. No, God, I don't want a small one. I want a big one. Well, God says, why would I give you more in heaven? Well, because I've given my life over to you. Listen, I know if I am faithful to God, God is going to reward me on this life because I gave up. I didn't give up a lot because I'm not very smart and very talented. So I probably couldn't have done a whole lot in the world. I said Miss Charity this morning in teen class. She had so much potential. My wife is so much smarter than me, so much better looking than me. She could have had so much more than what she got. I mean, amen. So, amen. Amen. But you know what my wife said? My wife said, you know what? A better looking husband, a smarter husband, a bigger house, a better car, all these things I could have had. My wife says, I don't care. I'm going to settle with that guy because that's what God has for me. My wife says, listen, that is what God's will is for me. And she said, I could have had all this, but I'm going to surrender it to God, and God gave me this. And you know what? It's not going to be much on earth. The name Charity Frazier is not, in this life, is probably not going to mean much. But when Charity gets to heaven, God's going to say, here's your mansion. Here's your additions. Here's what I am going to give you for your faithful service to me. You gave up a lot. And here I'm going to give you a lot. Folks, listen, here's the statement. Add to your heavenly home by subtracting selfishness. Add to your heavenly home by subtracting selfishness. We are so selfish in this day and age. We want me, 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 mine, I. And every time we me, every time we I, every time we please ourselves, we are subtracting from the kingdom of God. But when we wake every morning and we say, I want to subtract myself so that I can add to the kingdom of God, that means I'm not going to hold very tightly to my money in my pocket. I'm not going to hold very tightly to the schedule that I have today. If someone needs Jesus, I'm going to share the Jesus with them. I'm going to set my desires, my wishes, my goals aside, set the selfishness aside so I can add to the kingdom. You add to the kingdom when you subtract selfishness out of your life. Folks, what are you subtracting today to add to the kingdom? Maybe you're not subtracting from yourself. Maybe your life right now is add. Everything is about me. Folks, you're going to find, as my dad found out, man, that was a waste. Folks, listen, let's not waste. Let's take what God has given us and give it back to him. Let's share our love with other people this week. Subtract our desires and what we want and add it to someone else's life. Hey, if you're looking forward to purchasing something nice for yourself, maybe set that aside. Purchase it for someone else and give it a gospel track and tell them, listen, Jesus loves you. God loves you. I want you to know that. I love you too. Here's how much Jesus loves you. I'm going to subtract my life, something that is pleasurable to me, and add it to someone else. Listen, in heaven you'll be rewarded for that. Jesus Christ said it himself. He says, listen, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Jesus Christ said, everything you do for a little one, to giving them a cup of water in my name, I will reward you in heaven. Folks, listen, your home is heaven. When you think about adding to that home more than you think about adding to this home. Listen, folks, I hope that heaven is your home. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, heaven is your home. And how do you know heaven is your home? Listen, you know heaven is your home when you look forward to getting there. You know heaven is your home when you can't stop talking about it. You know heaven is your home when you start working on heavenly home improvements. You know heaven is your home. Listen, do you know that heaven is your home? I hope so. And if heaven is your home, it should be your most important home. And it should be where you're thinking about, what you're talking about, what you're investing in. Last thing, three tips to take with you. Death is not something to fear if you know Christ. Death is not something to fear if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do not know Christ, is your family, your friends do not know Christ? How about if your family or friends, do they know Christ? Do they know about heaven? I hope you're telling them. I hope you're witnessing to them, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, death is not something to fear. It is something to embrace. It is something to look forward to. And maybe you're sick today, and maybe you're afraid of dying. Listen, it's not a fear. Yes, you're going to miss your family here, but listen, you're going to wake up in a much better place. And I know this sounds, but I wish I was where Suzanne was tonight. I wish I could go to heaven tonight. I mean that. I wish Jesus Christ came back today. How many would say amen to that? Don't you wish Jesus came back today? Are you ready? It's not something to fear. It's something to look forward to. The only reason you're afraid of death is because you're going to selfishly want to stay here. Because this is where your heart is. But folks, if your heart is in heaven, you don't fear death. You embrace it. Listen, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We gain in death when we live for Christ. It is a wonderful thing. Listen, number two, take this point with you. When you start to talk about one of your travels, stop and tell that person about heaven instead. Think about all the places you've been. Think about all the things you'd like to talk about. All the trips you've taken. Wherever paradise is for you. You know, for me, as I told you, it's Disney World. And before I start telling someone about Disney World this week, maybe I should start talking to them about heaven. Amen? Wherever it is you're about to tell somebody about your trips, your travels, your paradise, hey, tell them about heavenly paradise. Talk about heaven this week. Place your heart's desire on provoking Jesus to make your place a little bigger and a little brighter every day. Every day of your life, place your heart's desire on provoking Jesus to make your place a little bigger and a little brighter every day. Maybe Jesus be adding to your eternal kingdom every day because of what you're doing for him every day. And I'm going to close with this. I wanted to play the song. Charity said I shouldn't. And I listened to my wife because she's a lot wiser than I am. But it's a song called Clear the Stage. And I'm going to read the lyrics. I wish you could play the song. I encourage you. The song is written by Jim Needham. I don't know Jim Needham. I just know the lyrics to this song are wonderful. All right. And if you go on YouTube, type in Clear the Stage lyric video. And it's under Mark Rasmussen. He's a guy I went to college with. And this is him and his sisters, the Rasmussen family, singing this song. And I encourage you, sit and listen to this song. It's called Clear the Stage. But here's the lyrics. It says this: Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure that you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregations fuse and they have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. Then seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store, and know that great is your reward. Just be hopeful. Because you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg him, please, to open his mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Share the light on every corner of your life. Shine the light until the pride and lust and lies are open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. Because you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to and still get it wrong, because worship is more than a song. You must not worship something that's not even worth it. Clear the stage and make space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything I give all my love to is an idol. Clear the stage tonight. What is it in your life that's getting your focus off of God? As we take this moment of prayer, and as the invitation is going to pray, clear the stage of your life. Get rid of the idols. Get rid of those things you're focused on. And start thinking about how you can focus on heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you.
God, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have tonight to just talk about heaven. Lord, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our prayers are with Suzanne right now. And Lord, I just pray for them. Lord, I envy her. Lord, it would be wonderful, Lord, if I was to go to heaven tonight. It would be wonderful if you came. Lord, I look forward to seeing the mansion you have for me. And God, I look forward to seeing the rewards that, Lord, you're going to give me as I have surrendered my life to serve you and to preach and to teach and to love other people. But Lord, I even know in my own life, God, there are some things, Lord, this lyrics, the song would say, are idols, things that get my mind and focus off of what's important. Sometimes I let politics get in my mind to get my mind off of perfection. Sometimes I get fear and things I'm worried about on my mind instead of the perfect place of heaven. Lord, I pray tonight that the Word of God is clear, that the Word of God has spoken, and that the Spirit of God will move. And Lord, we will understand, Father God, I pray, that heaven is our home, and it is where our heart should be. It is where our focus should be. Lord, I pray tonight as we just take this time of invitation, that God will clear the stage, we'll get rid of the idols, we'll get rid of those things that are distracting us, and Lord, we'll set our focus and heart on you tonight and on heaven. Bless this time. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand up, and as the piano plays...